This is The Playbook. This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs The Playbook. And you think this stadium, SoFi Stadium, is amazing. It's probably the best in the world. You're going to love my next guest, the incredible Emily Ford. She is a speaker. She is an author. She is a host of the It Factor podcast. Welcome to my podcast, The Playbook.
Thank you. I'm so honored to be here with you.
Oh, the honor is all mine. But I have to talk about the It Factor to start.
Let's do it.
And my mentor was actually my aunt. And my aunt was an entrepreneur who became a multimillionaire in New York City. She was a teacher.
Wow.
And took kids on summer trips to Europe and figured out that kids needed credit cards instead of American Express traveler's checks.
Uh-huh.
And somehow sold her way into American Express and created college credit cards that were co-signed we have today, right?
Right.
And made millions and millions of dollars. And so I wanted her to teach me how to be a mentor. And she told me one thing that was amazing. She said, I can't teach everyone to be a successful entrepreneur unless they have something called the it factor.
Uh-huh.
And she said, you're my godson. And I just have to tell you this. I'm not biased. She said, but you have it.
It. Yeah.
And I went years believing that I had it, but didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
Right? It just seemed like it was something I had that was going to be it. What is the it factor that has allowed you to have so much passion, purpose, and profitability in your life?
That's so good. And I love helping people extract their it factor, find their it factor, because some people are born, right? They're born with charisma. They're born with having the gift of leadership. But I truly believe that all people have an it. They just have to find it and extract it and be bold enough to lean into it. But for me, it was almost 14 years ago when I was sleeping on a mattress on the floor in Minnesota, and I was working so hard. I was raised by a single mom, and I knew how to hustle. I knew how to work hard, but I didn't know how to create wealth or really even to lean into my zone of genius. And so what I realized, I had the gift of leadership and I had the gift of making relationships. So how can I turn that into a business and build sales teams? So I really leaned into that of just leading others and showing them the way.
And within the context, there's something important that you pointed out. And I'll use an analogy to football and we can take it somewhere else.
Yeah.
But there's an old saying, I represented a lot of the world's best quarterbacks. And that's the face of the team. And
right.
There's a saying in quarterbacks is that your skills and your knowledge of being a quarterback are your basement. But your desire is your potential.
That's right.
And I've taken this to understand something that's always frustrated me about hope and faith is that we tell a lot of people, you can be whatever it is you want to be.
Right.
You can achieve whatever. And I believe that's true if you believe in infinite time, meaning many, many lifetimes.
Right.
That you could start this lifetime, like even me at 5'7", if I wanted to be LeBron James, the best basketball player ever,
yep.
I could do it, just not in this lifetime. Because I have a very low basement when it comes to skills, knowledge, and desire for basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But you talked about something that was really interesting to me, finding your it.
Mm-hmm.
And would it be fair to say that part of finding your it is knowing where your highest basements are so that if everyone focuses their attention and intention on a basement and use their desire to achieve their potential, you're best off finding the highest basement to get the most out of it. So how do we find, because you help so many people find it, the highest basement?
Oh, that's so good. Yeah, first of all, I want to just strip limiting beliefs and get people to realize, number one, that they are uniquely and divinely created. There's no other you.
Right.
There's no other you. I mean, think about that. You are knitted together in your mother's womb. And so that's facts, right?
You are literally a thumbprint.
Yeah. So getting people to, like, let's just stop the comparison. It's good to have people that we look up to and admire, but hold on a minute. There's only you. And number two, all the experiences in your life, like, God has already laid them out. He already knows what's going to happen, everything. So your experiences are happening for you, not to you. So leaning into what experiences in life have shaped you. So I like to look at those two fundamental things, but then I like to dive deep and be like, what's the things that light you up? Like genuinely, like you could spend hours doing it, right? Like last night I was up at midnight reading, studying, getting better. And I had to tell my partner, I'm like, I need to go to bed because I'm going to see Dave Meltzer in the morning, but I'm so hungry to get better. I get lost in human psychology. I get lost in figuring out how to help another human being. So that's obviously something that I should do, right? So I like to have people look at that. Is it art? Is it creatives? Is it, you know, drawing maybe? Is it, maybe they have the gift of management? Do they like organizing things? So extracting all that kind of stuff, right? And then looking at life experiences as well, because that helps shape who you are. And then from there, looking at like making that a brand. So that's typically what I do.
It's so interesting, the last component, because it's so important, even for someone that's more experienced with 35 years of business experience, where I built brands for athletes, celebrities, and entertainers, and never thought that building a brand for self would ever be a component of my life.
Wow.
And I think that today, the exact opposite has occurred, that it's more important for those that don't sit in front of millions of people playing football,
right,
to build a brand than 100%. It is for the person that's playing football in front of millions 100%. Of people. 100%. Where do you see people limiting themselves when it comes to building their own brand? Because there's a lot of resistance, even from an open-minded, open-hearted, and open-handed, you know, experienced person. Yeah. When Gary Vaynerchuk told me to build my own brand and start my own podcast, I was resistant.
Right.
Why do you think it is that so many people are so resistant to that last component of building a brand?
Yeah, I think there's a couple different things. I mean, you've got your outward people like me who we want to speak, we want to share. But then you look at people that they're more behind the scenes. They've built businesses. They've led teams, right? They've been teachers. And those are actually the people that we want to learn from, because someone like yourself, thank God you're doing what you're doing, because you have a wealth of knowledge to teach people like me, right? And so I look at building a personal brand as an asset. I was talking to a pastor the other day, and he's like, hey, I don't want to be like about the selfie. I want to be outward, you know? And I'm like, no, like you need to put yourself out in service to others. And this brand is an asset, because if this church closes, if your mission closes, like what I've done in the last decade is just done nothing but put myself out, give value, no matter what happens, new business deals, speaking opportunities, I'm good because I've built the brand. I look at it as an asset, and I think people are just in their heads, really, truly, and they don't realize that they have a lot that they can share, and that's why they need to find what they're actually gifted in so they can then extract that and share it out to the world.
Do you think they worry about what other people think?
100%.
And have you had that difficulty, or have you always been more of a free spirit of, I'm going to be me and... You know, hate me for who I am, or then love me for who I'm not?
I've always been kind of a free spirit, but I had to learn that the hard way of, like, I was a good athlete in volleyball and stuff, but I wasn't that great at school, and my siblings are. And so I had to learn, like, gosh, what makes me special at a young age? And I didn't have a father, and I grew up by myself a lot in a toxic upbringing. So, you know, I believe, again, everything happens to you and not for you, right? But I learned through business, and in being in business of sales, like, it's for some people, but it's not for everybody. And, you know, service is a gift.
And service is always related to faith.
Amen. Yeah.
And I know you and I both share great faith. Mine, I try and always try to simplify and bond faith everyone without separating it. So my latest and greatest way of articulating faith is, I believe in something bigger than me.
Yeah.
That's omniscient, all powerful, and all knowing.
That's
that
good.
Loves me more than my mom. So I'm always protected and promoted.
That's so good.
With the concept of faith, though, you talked about things happening to you or things happening for you, but we haven't really talked about a philosophy I know that you share, which is things happening through you. And I'm on a big campaign. I'm not a big influencer, creating dis-ease and flu. I'm an influencer.
I want to create this. The flow. Flow.
And I see you as an influencer.
Yeah.
How do you empower people with the flow to be able to be able to allow life to come through you for others?
It's so beautiful. I even just get calm as you talk about it because I once always wasn't like that. I wanted to force, I wanted to force things. I wanted to prove myself. And the closer I get to our creator, I just feel like the more I trust and I have freedom. Like, and what I mean by that is like, we both have very aggressive schedules, right?
Yeah.
And like
activities.
Yeah. And like, there's so much freedom in just trusting and not living in fear and living in love and really focusing on something so much greater than ourselves, which is our relationship with our creator. And then how can we be the vessel? I honestly look at myself as just like, I'm a little messenger of hope, you know?
Yeah.
And when I live that way, it's like, I have more energy, more clarity, more courage, and it's not all about me. And I live in flow, and I just constantly throughout the day, like I was on a interview yesterday and I was telling the person, like, all day long, I'm just talking to God. Like, I'm just asking for courage. I'm just asking for wisdom, like guide my footsteps and speak to me and through me and just use me as a vessel. And I truly believe like greatness comes out of me when I live in my heart and not in my head. And that is a big secret to, I think, a lot of people that live with an ease and a higher standard of excellence, really.
It's so funny because I just had a meeting earlier with my aggressive active schedule. I'm building a brand that was inspired by the Psycho Bunny.
I love the
dichotomy of a Psycho Bunny.
Yes. Like
the most cuddly, soft character being crazy was funny. But I consider myself, and you, by the way, ferocious Buddhas. And there's this ferocious, aggressive, active personality trait.
Uh-huh.
But reconciled into this calm ease of faith.
I love that.
And so to that end, though, one of the difficulties that people have is attaching their emotions to an outcome.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be happy when.
Yeah.
Right. I put a time limit on things. And these little constructs create resistance and make things more difficult.
100%.
I would think it's a big part of your teaching, of your mentorship, to help people, number one, understand how you can be super aggressive and not attached to an outcome, but still be super aggressive.
Yeah.
Because they think of it as goals or milestones and they get so confused. It's counterintuitive when I tell them, no, I don't have an outcome. I have a trajectory.
Yeah.
How best do you empower people with this counterintuitive thought of being able to detach your emotions from an outcome versus having goals or milestones or trajectories in your life?
Yeah, it's about the journey, not the destination. And truly, I learned this the hard way with being so fixated on a goal at a young age. I'm like, I'm going to be a millionaire. I'm going to show everybody.
And I just had a single mom.
Oh, totally. I put my head down and then I got there and I'm like, what is this? Got a Bentley. What is this? Got a second. What is this?
Empty.
So empty.
Yeah.
Literally, I booked a trip to Africa. I went to Uganda and helped fund a school. And that changed everything for me. And as dramatic as it sounds, it's like I needed to like completely go to a third world country and look in the eyes of these little kids and realize, what am I doing and why am I doing it? Like, am I doing it for accolades? Am I doing it for recognition? And that is what I craved as a young girl, because I just wanted to be seen. And then I realized, no, like, this is about the journey and how far can I go? And I really, like, when I saw these kids and I saw the impact just a little bit of money can do, like, seriously, I'm like, game on.
Nice.
Like let's live full out and let's live a life of fulfillment. And what does that even look like? And I realized that I needed to have richer relationships that were actually had depth and actually had an equal energy exchange. And I needed to spend more time on things that were going to feed my soul instead of my ego. And so I learned that, you know, through growing and then flatlining and then declining and all of it. But I truly feel like if you have that mindset of like, I just want to serve, I want to be excellent. And I'm just so interested to see how much better I can get every day. Like, it's just kind of a little thing with myself. Like, how much better can I be today than I was yesterday? It's like, life is fun.
Oh, it's amazing.
And yeah.
You remind me of Paul Allen from Microsoft, who is a young person, mentored me. And I just become very wealthy, and I was always talking about money. And Paul Allen shared with me a story. He said, Dave, he goes, you know, I made all this money at Microsoft, and I wasn't happy. So I bought more things and I wasn't happy. I bought different things and I wasn't happy. And I bought more different things and I wasn't happy. And then I went to the Middle East and delivered wheelchairs. And one of the wheelchairs that I delivered was to a mom that had never left the hospital bed.
Yeah.
And we put her in a wheelchair. Sorry, I get choked up.
No.
But he tells me a story. He goes, and we put her in the wheelchair and pushed her. And this four-year-old boy came running up crying. And he's like, thank you so much. My mom's never been out of that bed.
Wow.
I've never seen my mom out of the bed. Thank you so much. And he said, Dave, I was happy. And when I turned older and I went through my own transformation, one of the first stories that I thought about when I started building communities in Africa was, wow, I'm happy.
Yeah, amen.
Right?
So beautiful.
And I had everything that Paul Allen had. And it's amazing when you told your story, I got choked up thinking about the same exact feeling. I could see that transformation that we, not that money's not important. It absolutely
right.
allows us to shop.
100%.
But if we shop for the right things, we're going to be happy.
That's right.
And in order to do it, we have to find our it.
Mm-hmm.
What I love most about what you're doing is very few people have simplified a process to help so many people not only find their it, but utilize, amplify, and perpetuate their it to empower other people to liberate their own it, their own light. And Emily Ford, you are a light at this humongous stadium. You have enough energy to light up the national championship game. And I just want to tell you, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
And I can't wait to do more with you.
I know.
Incredible Emily Ford. If you're interested in finding your it, it's the It Factor. Check out the podcast. Check her out. Follow her. There's so many things that we can learn from each other. This is David Melcher from the world's greatest stadium with the world's greatest people here on Entrepreneurs, the Playbook.
So good. Thank you.
You move me.
Oh, you move me. Thank you. You're so beautiful.